or what God can do for us, or the next open door or opportunity for us. We forget about all the things that God is wanting us to become along the way. We just keep thinking, well, if our house was a little bigger, if our car was a little better, if the bottom line of our checkbook was just a little broader, then truly we would be moving into the promised land. And again, we confuse how God works with the things that we have in our hands, when all along He's just saying, hey, I'm looking at the condition of your heart. I'm not just wanting you to move from one place geographically to the next. I'm wanting you to learn who I am and what I want you to be as you move. I want you to learn how to live each day in abundance. I want you to learn how to live each day in obedience. I don't want you to set me on the shelf and be negligent in your relationship with me and in your dreams that I have for you because, well, for a period of time, this is where you are. And then forget about concentrating on who you are and who you're becoming. No, God is more concerned about who you are and what and who you are becoming along the way. And really, in His heart, this thing called life is very, very simple. It's you and I that make the mistake of complicating it and making it complex. He just wants us to have a right heart with Him. And then, in the same way that we have a right heart with Him and the way that we treat Him, He wants us to then carry that right heart into the relationships that we have with others. Does any of you here this morning have relationships with Him? Raise your right hand and say a hearty amen.
Amen.
Does any of you then also, though, have relationship with another group called others? Raise your left hand and say, oh me. Because sometimes that's where our abundant life breaks down. It breaks down not in who He is to us, but in who we are to others. And in this particular book, this book that begins to talk about the 40 years of wandering and says now that it's going to come to an end. Did you know that this book of Deuteronomy only covers about a week or two of the 11th month of the 40th year of their wandering? You're just looking at a couple weeks here when you pick this book up and you turn to it and you begin in chapter 1 and then conclude in chapter 34 with the death of Moses. That's about all you're looking at. How many of you have had this kind of day before lunch on Monday before? Well, this is a couple of weeks for God's people. And Moses begins this book with a history lesson. And it's from this history lesson that I believe this morning is going to be of encouragement to you. It's with this lesson that he begins to review the mighty acts of God for the nation of Israel. He takes a moment, first of all, to remind them of the law. Secondly, he reminds them and restates to them the covenant that God has made for His people and the need for His people to rededicate their lives to Him. It's here that these lessons should be clear after 40 years of wandering. What are the three lessons? The lesson number one that should have been learned is that because of what God has done, Israel should have hope and should confidently follow Him. So Moses is telling the people, look at all your family went through. Look at all your fathers went through and now have died. Their dreams and their desires and their vision for a better place, it's now died. Learn from that because in that you see all that God has done. And as a result of all that God has done, you can carry with you a confident hope of what God will do for you and that you can confidently follow Him. The second lesson was that you should learn what God expects. In those 40 years, not only did you learn what God could do based on what God had done, but you should have learned by that period of time what God expects. Maybe it's because I turned 40 that I was drawn to this passage of Scripture as they had turned 40. And maybe it's now that God is teaching me the same lesson, and it could be that God is wanting to teach you the same lesson. That by these years of wondering and wandering, we should now know what God expects. And in knowing what God expects, we should learn the discipline of listening and obeying what He expects. Listening. Some of you are wondering, is that a new word? Listen. Some of you are even wondering about the word obey. And you're wondering, what does that word look like? Well, he is saying here, by the history lesson, that by this time you will know what listening and obeying looks like, and that this is how you achieve what God wants to do by carrying out what God expects. The third lesson is that by this point in time, you should have learned who God is. And because you've known now who God is for 40 years, you can love Him completely. How many of you know the wilderness can teach you what God can do, what God expects, and who God is if you let Him? But that there has to be a letting. Because some lessons we choose to never learn. It's in the learning of these lessons that the next generation has virtually been brought not just to see the promised land, but to possess and to seize that land. And what we're going to see is how God can take a generation of people who were birthed from fathers and mothers of a faithless generation, and He can take what they weren't conceived in and turn them into a nation that is filled with a kingdom of priests and of kings that establish dominion and a thousandfold increase everywhere they set their foot. I want to teach on the thousandfold increase. Now, normally, everybody screams and shouts. So let's do it with them. I'm going to teach on the thousandfold increase. You are going to be blessed, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Let's join with people around the country now, and let's grab the spiritual wand, the lever, and let's now pull it together and say, money, come to me now. And that's when you're all supposed to break out your checkbooks and start taking your $100 seed and place it in your $100,000 need. And that when you leave here, you will go to a life that is now perfect and in harmony. You'll join with those before you. And you'll sing, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony, a thousandfold increase. It's just for me and me. I'm the real thing. How many of you know we're just kidding? Kinda. I want to talk about a thousandfold increase. In fact, I'm going to give to you over the next few years 10 keys to unlocking 1,000 victories. And in these 10 keys, I'm going to tell you that any time, and here's the premise of this series, when there is a promise of a thousandfold increase, get ready, because there will be a thousandfold battle for the thousandfold increase. And we must learn how to become people of purity, people of promise, people of principle, and people of provision. And how we must understand that indeed God does desire to bless us a thousandfold. But we must recognize that His increase is something more than something financial. That God increases and blesses and does for us things that are far greater than financial dividends. They're spiritual, they're emotional, they're relational. They produce in us a character and an integrity and an image that looks more like Him rather than a greedy world. Are you still smiling this morning? With the review of this history, I now go to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses... Pastor Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded concerning them. The Lord, our God, said to us at Horeb, or the place of dryness, the place called the desert, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. I want to pause here and tell you that I saw something in the scripture when I read this that I'd never seen before. The word Horeb in verse 6, it means dryness or desert. Now let's reread this. The Lord our God said, at the desert or at the dry place, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. I've never thought about mountaintop experiences being experiences of dryness and in the desert? Have you? I've always associated it in a different manner, and yet here we find Pastor Moses telling the people, look, we were at a place, we were on a mountaintop that was dry and deserted and filled with sand. And God is saying now that we'll break camp and we'll leave this place. We're here in the middle of His history lesson, and yet He's teaching us that maybe not all breakthroughs, maybe not all answered prayers look like we think or want them to. Some of you are smirking. Verse 7 says, break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites, which are giants. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Aruba or in the plain, in the mountains, in the western foothills in the Negev, and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great rivers, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore He would give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to their descendants after them. At that time I said to you, you are too heavy a burden for me to carry alone. Because Moses is telling them that because they have grown, because they have increased, because they have been blessed, that they are too difficult for Him to carry alone. Verse 10 says, the Lord your God has increased your numbers so that today you are as many as the stars in the sky. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as He has promised. Melvin, I just want to say what a great job you did in the first part of our teaching of living like Jesus in our finances. And it's not too late if you'd like to come tonight at 6 o'clock. But one of the most powerful principles we see in our finances is that God's ability is locked in the way that we spend His provision for us. And that in God's heart, His desire is indeed what Moses has just reminded them. What He is now admonishing and encouraging them to remember, that the Lord, the God of their fathers, in His heart is a desire to increase them 1,000 times and to bless them as He has promised. I want you just to bow your heads. I'd like to pray this prayer over you. Lord, You are their Father. And today I ask that You would indeed pour out Your heart that desires to increase their numbers today, as many as the stars in their sky. And Father, may You increase them 1,000 times. And may You bless them indeed as You have promised. And Lord, as I begin to teach them about the battle that confirms and ensures the 1,000-fold increase, that You would strengthen them, and with understanding and knowledge, they would not perish under the load of indeed possessing what they see called a promise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So again, I go back to the foundation. When you're promised 1,000-fold increase, be ready. Because for each fold of increase, there will be war. There will be battle. You will have to fight for the thing you see. And you may have to fight more than once. You may have to establish your position spiritually over and over and over again. What we see in this passage of Scripture is that God's heart is saying to the people, as Moses reminds them in this history lesson of what He said in a prior season in time, that it's to increase and to bring abundance and to advance the people of God. That it's time for them to not just see the promise, but it's time for them to seize the promise. How many of you know that seeing something and seizing something are not the same somethings? That they require different things. You see, they were camping on the east side. And as they were camping, they were sitting around the fire and they were warming themselves and they were encouraging themselves and they were comforting themselves. And they were saying, see? And they were looking at the future and they were saying, see what we will have? See what we will become? And yet, even as they said what they saw, just saying and just seeing was not enough to possess what they said and what they saw. That quite literally, camping required a different discipline than breaking camp, moving, and beginning to take possession of a new camp. And when God begins to speak to you, and God begins to tell you that I want to do more in your life, I want to see more in your life than you just seeing a better day for your life, and seeing my desire to increase you, and saying that my desire is to increase you, and speaking that, when you begin to hear Him say, seize that, please understand that that seizing is going to require more than you've ever imagined. And that there are certain things along the way that confirm to God's people, and that will confirm to you, His people, in this setting and this day. It will confirm to you that you're headed in the right direction. Because each step that you take towards seizing what you've said, based on what you've seen, each step will require confrontation. And the enemy will see to it that each step of progress is contended for in your daily, in your personal, in your spiritual and practical walk. It's time for them to break camp, to go in, and to begin taking possession of the very land that God has prophesied and promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it means now a whole different lifestyle. Turn with me to Psalms 34. Psalms chapter 34. Psalms 34 says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me, and He delivered me from all of my fears. When you begin to make the switch and you begin to make the change and you begin to see, look, I can't sit back any longer and just talk about the future. I can't live in someday any longer, because today is the day for moving. Today is the day for changing. Today is the day for confronting. Please recognize that one of the first things your eyes will see and your mouth will be tempted to say, based on now your inability to begin seeing how you can seize the land that was promised for you, is that you will begin to come face to face with some of the things you fear the most. As we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, He reminds them that the land they're going into along the Negev, when He begins to remind them, He reminds them of the giants that have possessed that land for many, many years. That's where it's important for you to recognize that when you begin to seize and you begin to believe God for salvation, for deliverance, for healing, for provision, or whatever it is that God has put in your heart to believe Him for, and He has promised you that you're not going to just see it, you're not just going to talk about it, you're going to start experiencing it, please understand that there are going to be certain giants that you're going to confront, and they're going to see to it that those fears are confronted immediately. I can remember as a new convert that one of the first things that I came face to face with was the fear that I wouldn't make it for the long run. I couldn't see how I could live this new lifestyle forever in a day. And I began to feel the world swallow me up. I began to feel all of these fears and all of these anxieties, because I could not see any way, shape, or form that I could live spiritual enough to be accepted by God. I took God's ability and God's power out of the equation. And I assumed that living righteous and acceptable unto the Lord was all based on my own strength and my own ability. Now I carry that same fear into the other parts of my life, and I recognize that when God promises you something, He shows it to you with Himself a part of what He shows you. He knows you can't do this in and of yourself. He knows there's no way that you can reason, figure, understand, or comprehend how that could take place in your life. And what the enemy likes to do is he likes to come in and exactly show you exactly that you can't do it. And so if you look at your promise, if you look at the thing that God has called you to seize without His power, without His presence, and without His provision, then you'll quit. You'll give up. You'll go back to camping. You'll stop working. You'll stop moving. You'll stop seizing. And you'll go back to the campfire. And you'll go back to the good old days. And you'll warm yourself around the memories of who God was. And you will assure yourself as you sit around the fire that someday it'll be a better day, because we won't have to face the giants then. But, you know, let's just talk about someday of what Dominion Church is going to be. You know, someday it's going to be like Lakewood in its size, in its stature, in its influence. Yeah, that's a great day. In fact, someday I look for Pastor to be on TV again. Yeah, it's going to be a great day. And I was dusting day before yesterday, or trying to get something down, and I was on TV again. So I just want to let you know I'm back on the TV again. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Someday we're going to have a radio program, and someday our worship team is going to do all these things. But today we're just going to sit in camp. We're going to just hold back, and we're not going to be faithful, and we're not going to get involved, and we're not going to pay the price. And, you know, someday we're going to probably be up on I-45, and we're going to have a building that's going to be much like Grace's. And, boy, it's going to be visible, and it's going to be powerful. But, you know, today I'm not going to orchestrate or organize or administrate my finances to begin to unlock the ability to seize that day in the future, because it's just a whole lot more fun and it's a whole lot easier just to sit around the table and talk about, well, isn't this going to be great someday, rather than walking in greatness, or as the Bible says, faithfulness today. Shout today. Today. Today is the day. And isn't it easier for you and I as human beings to live in tomorrow, rather than take responsibility for a day called today? And it's even at times easier to live in yesterday than today. Well, I'd really love to serve the church, but, you know, I've just been hurt. I've just been wounded. I've just been going through hell on earth. I've just been going through it. So I'm not going to invest my life today until I resolve yesterday. I'm going to just choose to continue to live in my fears and my hurts and my pains and my wounds. I'm going to live there. Because that's fun to live there, because at some level it gives me attention. I can live in my yesterday and not have to feel the weight and the responsibility of a day called today. The reality is, God's will is about all 3 days. The key to the 3 days is living in the reality of responsibility and accountability today. Now, as I continue to drive this home, I want you to understand that it is much easier in our finances to blame yesterday on our inability to be faithful today. And when I sit down every Thursday to pay my bills, it would be a lot more fun to not pay my bills and take the monies that God gave me for today and use it for a seed. Or use it to appease my own selfishness and my own selfish desires today, so I won't have to worry about tomorrow. And ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is that God has a heart and a desire to increase, to make you abundant, to enlarge your tents, and to make you a people of advancement. And yet God is more than just a God of desire. God is a God of discipline. I'm convinced that's why Moses said, look, we're about to do a great thing. I think Moses and I have a lot in common. I'm telling you right now, we're about to do a great thing. Tell someone near you, we're in the midst of doing a great thing. We're going to buy land we can't afford. We're going to build buildings that people haven't seen yet, that are going to cause them to drive by and mistake it for other things. But when they recognize it's a church, they're going to recognize, surely, look what the Lord hath done. Because a man, a woman, a minister, a pastor, they couldn't do that. There must be a God. And that's what Moses is telling his people. He's saying, I want you to look back and I want you to see what God expects. I want you to see who God is. And I want you to look at what God has done. Because in your past, you'll find the energy and the power and the momentum and the principles and the disciplines to unlock your future. And so in order to do that, you got to start being faithful today. Today is the key to your other days. Today will determine what your tomorrows will be. But if you're living and using certain experiences and memories in your yesterdays not to be faithful today, then you will never see that ability to move beyond just seeing and speaking about a day called tomorrow. But when you begin to walk diligently and faithfully today, you will see in your tomorrows what they saw in theirs. Now, Psalms 33. Go back a block. It says this, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and do what? Do what? Let me hear you shout for joy. I heard it. I heard it. Let's try it again. Let me hear you shout for joy. When Pastor preaches on principles and disciplines today, let me hear your shout for joy. Not your murmuring over lunch, not your complaining over guess who's coming to dinner. Talk about the Moses who will stand in the pulpit and say, you want to see the tomorrow that's going to be great? You want to be a part of something mighty? You want to leave this place and let this place be a memorial and a monument and not a tombstone, but a stepping stone? Then rise up and be an obedient people today. Be a faithful people today. Get on the cutting edge and put your Coleman tent down and pick up your sword, because we moving out and we moving on, because we going in and we coming out. Now, that wasn't the point I really wanted to make. Psalms 33 says in verse 4, for the Lord, or the word of the Lord, is right and true. He is faithful in most of what He does. In all He does. Okay, excuse me. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. You sometimes, in the midst of breaking camp, are going to face your greatest fears. And those fears confirm that the thousandfold increase and advancement season is on. And in that moment, you have to learn not to reach for your failing fear. You have to learn to reach for your unfailing love. Somebody that has a King James Version and would not mind reading, please stand to your feet. Because I want us to hear how the King writes these few verses. Psalms 33, you have a King James Version Bible, and you ain't scared. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Judy. Let's begin in verse 1. Do it like they do on TV, real loud, kind of with that kind of cryptic sound in your voice. Hold on. Verse 4, reel out again, and then finish it with verse 5.
For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
Wow. Thank you, Judy. In one of the versions that I studied for this morning, or studied out of in this time of preparing for this morning, it said that the word of the Lord is right and true, and He establishes His works through faithfulness. Through faithfulness. So often we fail to see the things that He desires to possess in our lives for us because we fail in our faithfulness. What Moses was trying to do here is he's trying to say, hear what the word of the Lord is. Let's go back to history and let's learn where the forefathers have failed. Let's see why they never moved into the promised land. Let's see why they stayed in a storefront for 40 years. Let's see what kept them out of the promise. It got them out of captivity. But for 11 days, they were only meant to wander, but they turned it into 40 years. Let's learn from it. And what Moses is doing is he's going back and he's going back to memories. He's going back to faces. He's going back to places. He's going back to things. And he's reminding them. He's going to different places. Like the desert on the mountain called Horeb. And he's saying, let's look at this. Let's look at this and let's learn. This is why they did not go in. This is why it's up to your generation. It's up to your new heart. It's up to your new beginning. It's up to your new day. It's up to the new principles. It's up to the new disciplines. Because if you walk in what was, you'll continue to get what has been and what is. There's going to have to be something new in you. And not just in something you say, based on something you see. It's got to be in the something now you do. You've got to do something different to come up with a different ending. And I think Moses took his congregation and he went from place to place and he said, look, here's what God's will was. Here's what God's way was. But your forefathers weren't faithful. They got a prophetic word. They got all excited. They got all energized. And they sat around the fire and they talked about someday. And they did that for a week, maybe two, maybe three. And for 3 weeks in the local church, they were on fire. They were leading the way. And then over a period of time, other ways and other things became their priority. Got in the way of their purity. And through a simple act of not finishing what God started, by simply not obeying what God expected, then they were unable to see what God could do. And when you are unable to see what God can do, you go back to living in a bondage to what God has done. And you start becoming like the country western singers that sing, tell me about the good old days. Because the good old days are the only days that you'll have to live in. Because you'll have to go back to what was and you'll live without what could be because you weren't willing to finish what God had started. I believe that's a rhema word for many people. Many of you are here this morning and you are frustrated and you are angry with God and you have set a new course for your life as a result because God hasn't come through. And the reality is, it's not that God hasn't come through. It's not that God does not desire to bring you through. It's that you have stopped doing what He's been expecting and you've not been faithful long enough to get through. Some of you are thinking, if this is the introduction to this series of the thousandfold increase, then we're going on a 1,000-day vacation beginning right after service this morning. You're looking at a man that has been through too much to cheapen the grace and the mercy of God and to rip you off and lead you into believing that he is superficial enough to lead you to believe that in one act of sowing a financial seed, you can wash away and wipe away days, weeks, and years of living disobedient. That when God asks us to do something, it's not just for a season, not while it feels good. Because usually faithfulness doesn't begin until you don't feel like being faithful. That's when faithfulness begins. That's when His faith, which is from another world, takes over when your faith can't take another step. I hurt for some of us because we're here this morning and we're frustrated because it seems like God has really let us down. Or that He's led us on. Or that He's led us into a Mount Horeb place. A place of dryness, a desertedness, and a desert. And I hurt for you. And I'm trying to help you to understand how God works. that all the prophetic words from your pastor's heart, all the encouragement, all the wanting a better day for you is not a substitute for a good old thing, a good old fashioned thing called obedience. Someone from the good old days that helped start Dominion was talking with me, and they were just so excited. They were just so excited about where we are now. And they were bringing up a lot of the new people by name. They were so excited about the new people. And they stopped, and it was like they had this moment, like heaven opened up, and and they heard God. Because when they spoke, I saw a difference in their countenance. And they looked at me and they said, "And Pastor, they're so faithful." I was like, "You think?" They're like, "Man, I'm on the tellers committee, and they're faithful with their tithe. They're faithful with their offering. They convict me. They challenge me. They're here every time the doors are open." I was like, "Yeah. Yeah." And I was able to tell this person, as a result, look how much more the church is able to do because there's a faithful people. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to make it very simple to you. The kingdom of God acts and works and grows and lives through your faithfulness, your obedience. That's the part you can do. That's the part He won't do. He'll love you. He'll forgive you. He'll encourage you. He'll prophesy over you. But ultimately, when it all hits the spiritual road, the rubber has to be your faithfulness and your obedience pressed against His word on the tennis shoe, the spiritual tennis shoe of your heart. In the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about 9 more principles. The first principle you've heard much of this morning, but I'll give it to you so you'll have something to write in the margin of your notes or something on your notes. And that's simply this. The first key of victory needed for unlocking your thousandfold increase is that warfare is always seasonal. Warfare is always seasonal. Too many Christians want to take the war out of the relationship. The enemy is going to tell on himself and confirm the fact that you're headed in the right direction. As we read the word, we found that as Moses reminded them of the history, and he said, "Look, we're going to break camp, and we're going to advance into the hill country of the Amorites." He comes back to that same warning later in Deuteronomy, and he says, "Hear, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan and go in, and you will dispossess nations greater and stronger than yourself with large cities that have walls up to the sky." Does that sound like your trials? Does that sound like the things that oppose God's will and God's desire for abundance and increase and advancement in your life? That the people or the thing you're facing is much greater and stronger than you that have cities with walls up to the sky? He's telling them to remember, this is what rendered your forefathers into a life of unfaithfulness. And because of the unfaithfulness, there was an unfruitfulness. He said in verse 2 of Deuteronomy 9, "The people are strong and tall. They're Anakites. You know about them and heard it said, who can stand up against the Anakites or up against the long-necked? But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you. And you will drive them out and you will annihilate them quickly as the Lord has promised." With the promise and the prophetic word of a thousandfold increase, there always comes a thousandfold warfare. In the life of these individuals and in our own life, it comes in the form of the Anakites. Those things that appear as enormous. The Anakites were enormous people that history records that they fought more battles mentally than they did physically. That their very stare, their very stature, their very glares, their very intimidation, that by that very countenance, they frightened people and ruled over people and took possession over people without physical warfare most of the time. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. Nation would come against nation. And nations that might be stronger than these individuals were the very nature, were the very nations that cowered just at the physical appearance of the giant. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it was the same people that 40 years before this moment contributed to the forefathers not going in. So strong was their influence on the people of God's forefathers that they wrote in Numbers chapter 13, "We saw that the Nephilim, the descendants of the Anakites, they seemed like grasshoppers." No, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Do you see? Do you see what's happening here? It doesn't record that they took a poll of the giants and asked them, "How do we look? You know, we're God's people and we've got a prophetic word and we've got a promise. How do we look to y'all? I know you guys are about 10 feet tall and you got a frightening stare and a huge stature, but what do y'all think about us? Do we look like grasshoppers? Everybody raise your hands." Scripture doesn't record that, but what it does record is that God's people started following their failing fears rather than the confidence found in the unfailing love of God. And as a result, they assumed falsely that they were not only grasshoppers in their own eyes, but they were grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says in verse 1, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and then there's a time to speak." It is now time for this church to speak. "A time to love and a time to hate, a time for love, a time for war, and a time for peace." So the first key to unlocking your thousandfold increase is for you to recognize that warfare is always seasonal. And when you begin to declare that you're going to seize what you see, that you're not going to just sit around the campfire and speak about someday what this family's going to be like, or someday what this church is going to be like, or someday what our finances are going to be like. When you begin to start implementing disciplines that take control, that seize and take possession, then all war is going to break out. And everybody went, take a big gulp. All war will break out. Because the enemy knows better than you what lies on the other side of them. Because they've possessed it and they've kept it and they've harvested it, waiting for you to come and put your name on it. For every person in this room, as you stand, and as Pastor Dina comes back, I want you to begin to see not just your giant that's brought seasonal war against you, but for just a moment, by faith, I want you to see what's on the other side. What's on the other side? What's on the other side of your sickness? What's on the other side of your discouragement? What's on the other side of the giant called unfaithfulness and disobedience? What's on the other side of your fear? What is it that the enemy does not want you to see, much less seize? What is it that keeps talking you and taunting you back into just being satisfied with sitting around the camp, just talking about someday? What is it that the enemy doesn't want you to see? Because this is a day of going back. And this is a day of learning from history what it takes to be overcomers, what it takes to be more than conquerors, what it means to experience that by His stripes indeed we are healed. Today is about going back and becoming obedient to everything that God has asked of us in this season and this time, knowing that the kingdom of God and its works flows through your obedience and through your faithfulness. Go ahead, church, even now, as you're revisiting what it is that God asks of you, what it is God expects of you, picture in your heart, what is it that the giant doesn't want you to see? What is it He doesn't want you to have access to What is it he's fighting tooth and toenail to keep you from seizing? Because the thing he fights you for is the thing that God has promised for you. So go ahead, church. And as we sang this morning, lift up your hands, lift up your hearts, lift up your eyes, and see what's on the other side. See what's on the other side. Now, as you see what's on the other side, commit yourself now to being an obedient, faithful person that God can flow through. There's still hope if the enemy's fighting you. There's still hope because the enemy sees that indeed, this is the prophecy that they heard about. Your enemy has heard there's going to come someone greater than themselves. The enemy has heard that someone more powerful than themselves is coming at a time called harvest. Could it be that even now your warfare is declaring that it's your harvest time and that the enemy fears you more than you fear him? Because the enemy knows your prophetic word that says someone stronger, someone greater will come. And I declare over you for such a time as this, you are those. You are those that have come to seize, to take back, and to possess all that God has promised. Go ahead and just raise your hearts, raise your heads, and lift them into the sky from whence cometh your help. And know this is your greatest season of increase and advancement. But you're not going in with half the story. You're going in trained. You're going in equipped. You're going in fully aware of what it's going to take to possess the land. It's not in hype. It's not in formulas. It's not in spiritual magic cures. It's in faithfulness. It's in obedience.
All of my help cometh.
powerful awareness of His presence. And it's specific and it's purposed for specific things. I believe there's a number of you that are here this morning and you feel and felt very called to this altar. And you've kind of been waiting for a moment that you could just be invited to come. Now is that moment. Come quickly. Come. Come. This has been very stirring in the hearts of many people this morning who feel very overwhelmed by the giants that they face, who wonder what indeed lies, if anything, on the other side. Because all they can measure, all you can see is what lies on this side. You've come this morning and you're aware of the giant that is before you. There is a giant slaying power in this house this morning. And you need this moment at the altar with Him. Because this is the place that giants are slain. This is the place where promises are confirmed. Extend your hands towards these that are in the altars. I feel very prompted to pray for you, ma'am. I try not to interrupt what you're doing, but would you mind standing? I feel like I'd like to pray over you this morning. I feel that the Heavenly Father wants to just encourage you. I just want you to stand right there. There are people that are standing with you and behind you. And I just want you to raise your hands this morning as our congregation joins with you. Today you stand and there are imposing odds and figures and things that carry great fearful stature standing against you. And even now, you have come this morning wondering, how can this thing that God has promised me come to pass? How will God answer my prayers? That in your heart you found yourself at times saying 1,000 different ways, when, God, when? And even now the voice of the Lord speaks to you from Psalms 46 that says, be still and know that He is God. And not only be still and know that He is God, but be still and from this day forward, through your obedience and faithfulness, you will see that He is God. That even as you are being prayed for, a knowledge is coming that will keep you from perishing in discouragement and depression and confusion. But that even now the voice of the Lord is speaking, and with clarity, He is saying, this is the way, walk in it. And as you walk in the way that He has declared and destined and designed for you, with each step of obedience will be a release of peace and a release of power. And that in 7 days thence, there will be a direct influence and impact on the things that you face today. And that by this time, in 7 days to come, you will look back on this week and you will indeed see, through faithfulness and obedience on your part, God will have been faithful and obedient in His part. And that this is a moment of peace. So He says, be still. And you will know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Psalms 34 and verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. And you can go back to that fear, the fear of the Lord, in the midst of all kinds of imposing and opposing forces that in the natural have come against you. For the enemy has indeed seen the steps that you have purposed. He has heard the conversations that you have designed. He has seen the progress which you have made. And he remembers a day in which that progress was not there. He remembers days that the Lamb belonged to Himself, and so He has come. And He has come in like a flood. And yet even in this moment, as you know the fear of the Lord and have a great legacy and history in which you were raised in the fear of the Lord, you turn to that fear. And you find even now that the angels of the Lord encamp round about you. It's round about your family and every relationship in it. The things that you have carried in that are much too burdensome and much too heavy for you and that you cannot carry alone. This day, He says, your faithful act of obedience is to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast all your cares Because the nation, the home, the family is too great to carry upon yourself. So he says, cast your cares upon me, for he cares for you. And this morning he begins caring for you like none others. Like none others. Like none others. You will find in the fear of the Lord in your past all the power and all the confidence and all the provision you will need for the future that in many ways right now seems impossible for you to possess. That God gives to you the history lesson and says, your faithfulness and obedience has brought you this far. And through that faithfulness and obedience, He will carry you in and He will carry you over. In Jesus' name.